It's time for the Punters Panel, where we speak with local older people about the issue of the day. And in the studio today on the Punters Panel, my ever handsome brother Joseph Forlow and my very good friend Lucille McKenna, who is an Inner West Council councillor for the Leichhardt Ward and a diehard Rabbitohs supporter. So, Lucille and Joseph, are we saying enough about elder abuse?
Well, Jeff, I don't think we actually do talk about it enough. There's been a lot of publicity in recent times about institutional abuse in aged care and in all sorts of residential care and, of course, in the disability sector as well. But I think that the community would probably be surprised at the amount of neglect, financial abuse, or psychological abuse that's actually happening in the community. Maybe as well, I really can't comment about, I don't know about the physical and sexual abuse. I mean, obviously, I suppose it's there, so probably it is happening. I'm not really aware of it, but I do, of any specific cases, but I do, it does concern me, the level of particularly financial abuse. And it's not always family. Neighbours, carers are often fairly highly represented in that group of financial abusers.
And Lucille, you have first-hand experience of this in the work that you've done.
I have, yes, because I've worked in aged care for a very long time, so I've seen many cases of financial abuse, which is extremely sad, and it's always very challenging to deal with.
Mm. Well, me, I haven't had any exposure to elder abuse, so I'm one of these people that see on TV and hear about the abuse and shocked and can't understand how it can happen and the desperation that families feel when they feel something going on and they have to take things into their own hands sometimes to try and sort things out. But after listening to the speaker today, I mean, I'm heartened because I do sense that actually there are things available and there are things that can be done. So from being kind of, well, what the hell do we do, to I've got some clues about ways out of this, and I found that really encouraging. One, knowing there's resources, but two, that idea of prevention, because I suppose aligned with that is some education too, both of people as they get older, but maybe also of their families, because you know, there's a lot of baggage in families, and sometimes that carries over into the way the parents are looked after later, and maybe it's payback, but they don't realise necessarily that it is a family dynamic and not a fair dynamic, and maybe they need some help to understand rights and appropriate behaviour.
One of the real problems is in residential care, high numbers, and it's usually over 50%, have some level of dementia. Mm-hmm. And of course, in the community, in our aged community, in our very old community, a lot of those folk have some level of dementia as well. So it's really easy for people to take the opportunity. And most older people want their family members to be the people to look after their affairs. I've been on the receiving end of this, looking after my mother's affairs, and they do reach a point where they'll just hand over that responsibility to you, and you have that full access to. So, you know, I mean, coupled with envy and greed and friction between in families, these things all get sometimes get exposed, and there's some awful things that do occur, and families that try to manipulate things, and also see, one of the things that I've noticed in my work was that people, when they actually helped their family member more than other family members, then saw themselves as being more valued, or they should get a larger share of any inheritance. And Whereas we should care about our family because we care about them and we love them. It shouldn't be about the inheritance. If we're getting no inheritance, it shouldn't be. But of course, that is unfortunately one of the things that I saw happen quite a lot.
I mean, one thing that I did see was a family. They were quite well-to-do, but it seemed that one of the siblings out of five was taking extreme advantage of the other, and the others had to find a way to rein that in and manage it. And so I suppose it brought the abuse out into the open, but it was a strain on the family relationships because they had to deal with stuff amongst themselves.
And you can go to the Public Trustee and Guardian, which are extremely good at dealing with family conflicts. They do a really good job. But in the financial area, they won't do an urgent hearing unless there's the older person is at risk. So if they're in a facility or in an institution, they're not seen as at risk of anything. So some of these things can become a little protracted. I don't really know how you resolve the financial stuff, because we're not going to see them wanting to hand over their affairs to, you know, they'll always know of a solicitor or something that's been corrupted anyway, or read about it, and they won't want to do. So it really is back to just good relationships in families and, you know, trying to do somebody, maybe appointing more than one person.
We've been talking now largely about financial exploitation, but Diana identified four others.
Yes.
Physical, emotional, even sexual
and neglect.
And neglect. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that, Lucille.
Well, neglect is probably, I don't really know, but there's a lot of neglect in the community. People that are left alone, people that aren't fed and nourished properly, that totally dependent on others for that sort of care. Sometimes the older people themselves will not accept the support that is given to them, and that becomes very, very difficult for family members when that does happen. But again, there's those that just don't worry and don't seek the care and help that they could get, and the neglect is just ongoing. So that happens more so in the community than in institutions, I would suspect. Very unpleasant when you see people who aren't being looked after properly. But, of course, community members, there's nothing stopping you reporting these things and looking for the support. There are agencies that you can get help from. So I think community information and education is probably the key to those sort of things.
And conversations like we're having today.
Yeah.
What do you think about, as we know, there's different cultural communities, there's different levels of engagement with the elderly in that, there's always some abuse and exploitation. But do you think, because I have seen some nursing homes, retirement villages that are kind of cultural specific, so and so, I get the impression that they're often get better care because it's an expression of their cultural identity, and it's do you see any benefit in that, or a real benefit, or is it really?
No, I think it is a real benefit. Mm. I think to start with, people feel comfortable, because a lot of older people, even if they've had reasonably good English, will revert to the native tongue.
Yeah.
And, of course, that then is very challenging for the workers in that environment. So they do. My experience is that people really feel more comfortable in that environment where they have those large numbers of people from their own culture.
Yes, that doesn't mean they're not going to be made and taken advantage of, but there is I'm just wondering whether it might reduce that as well.
I can imagine it would, because you would feel a little bit more comfortable to speak out.
Yes.
That would be one thing. You'd feel like you're among people who would understand you, particularly if you have a different language.
I think that's definitely right. And I think that the success of those facilities, you know, there are a number of Italian and Greek, and now there's quite a few Chinese, and I think that's been certainly they've worked well, and usually they're not for profit organisations, so they therefore have a slightly different corporate structure and culture within them as to the way they handle their residents.
And what about the horror stories we've been hearing recently in the lead up to and during the Royal Commission, even so far as to hear stories about sexual abuse of aged people?
Well, the physical and the sexual abuse that we've seen is just horrendous. One wonders how that has happened. There's very obvious that there's real issues in some aged care facilities, not everyone. Incredibly varying levels of staffing in these facilities, incredibly varying levels of supervision of the staff, and many of the staff that are working and providing the care don't have any proper qualifications. So there's a whole range of issues. The number of registered nurses in these facilities has reduced. It somewhere around, it's much, much, much lower than it was in the days when prior to this, the Aged Care Act, which came in about 97, where the whole structure changed. Aged care facilities can now be owned by corporations where there's no particular person that's really responsible. Prior to that, we had clearly mandated staffing requirements and a requirement for registered nurses and trained people. And in those days, of course, if you didn't provide that level of staffing and spend the specific amount of money that was given to you by the Commonwealth on the staffing, people were jailed. Proprietors were jailed. That has completely abolished since we've had the Aged Care Act. So anyone, any corporation now, and I've always had a concern ever since this happened, that the corporations have a responsibility to get the best deal for their shareholders. So whenever they need to make more money, they restructure and reduce staffing hours, and we end up in this dilemma that we're in now. Mm. So it's really, to me, it's very easy to fix. If mandated staffing hours, people talk about ratios, but different levels of care needs, hours per person, there has to be a way to make sure that we provide the right level of care and the right level of supervision.
So paradoxically, it might be that government has actually engendered a climate of abuse because of the lack of proper standards that are going to guarantee quality services instead of just transactions. And
that's right.
That's
absolutely right. There is a level of responsibility on these, and it's been bipartisan decisions, mm-hmm. although I don't know there was with the Act in 97, but since then there have been bipartisan decisions, and we just have to get it right.
Joseph Forillo and Lucille McKenna, thank you very much for being our guests today on the Punters Panel.
Pleasure.